You know, here's the other thing. Boy, I wasn't going to teach you this, but just real quick. To get the hot, here's how we present MLS. You know, Emily, a serious buyer, the type of buyer that you want, need for this house is going to be a married couple, probably with one or two children. They're both working Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. This is the type of buyer that doesn't have time to cut out coupons. They don't look on the newspaper and say, oh, here's a for sale buyer, here's a for sale, here's a. It's easier for them to call an agent and say, I want this, 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 and this. The agent goes research this, 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 and this. And when they find it, they call the buyer to come out and see it. Now, here's where an agent looks to find the houses that meet the requirements for any particular buyer. It's called the multiple listing service. Are you familiar with it? Yeah. See, let me just show you. I printed out a list of all the homes that are for sale in the general vicinity. And I want you to see, each one of these lines represents one house for sale. I want you to see this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. You guess whose house isn't on here?
Mine.
Yours. You need to get on the list. And you want to know something, Emily? If it's not with me, this ain't about me. If you don't feel good about me, you got to hire another agent then. You at least need to get on the list because that's where the A buyers come from. Now, once you get on the list, the agent's job is to have the house stand out amongst all these homes on the list. And this is how I do. The next thing I have is the broker's open house. Now, I make this an event. Are you all with me on this?
Right.
What am I selling here, me or the industry? I'm selling the industry, man. It's not about me. I'll even tell them, you don't like me, you don't feel good about me, that's fine. But Emily, for your sake, man, you and I need to get on the list. The other thing, people, why this works, calling it the list instead of multiple listing, is because people want to get on the list. They want, this is the special group of people. Ooh, you're not on this. Join the club. People want to be on the list. They want to join clubs. Now, if they buy into the industry, then it's easier to talk about commission. Here's a rule of thumb about pricing. Anything. You first have to establish value before you ask for somebody to spend money on it. If you look at any product, there are always, every commercial, it's to validate the quality of the product that they're selling to justify the price that they're asking. And that's what we have to do. The listing, the commission conversation is not at the end. It happens in your mind as soon as you wake up. And as soon as you walk through the front doors, when you start talking, that's where the commission conversation started. If they don't like you, buy into the value you bring to the table, they're not going to pay you anything. Okay. Let's talk some more. Are you guys learning anything, yes or no?
Yes.
All right. All right. Improving your listing conversation. Here's a couple of things that will also help you with the other agents said they'll do it for less commission. Some of what I'm sharing with you is going to help you with this. Know your competitive advantage, meaning you versus discount brokers. Now, here's what I recommend you do. You know what? I did this. Let me see if I can find this. You need to make a list. Now, I know you went through new agent training. I know you got your listing conversation book. But just for an exercise for yourself, it's important that you list. What do we bring to the table for 7%? What do you bring to the table? What, you know what? Why don't you do this game? Why are you worth 8%? Why are you worth 8%? That's the question I want you to answer. I want you to answer, why am I worth, and why is my company worth 8%? So therefore, when you ask for 7, you're giving them a discount. And I want you to make a list. Now, because here's what I did. I went to, in doing my homework for you, I started poking around. This is a company in Maryland, I believe. Discount real estate listings, -maryland.com. They do it it didn't show up here, but it's 4.9%. And I started to look at, here's what they do for 4.9%. This is it right here. Now, wait a second. Then I got another one here that says the full service, 3-4% full marketing plan. Here's what they do. There's their list. I didn't have time to give you an overhead of it. Here's my point. When I looked at this thing, here's the concept that I will tell you later. If the difference between what you want and what somebody else is asking, let's say somebody's asking 5% and you want 6 or 7, if it's 5 to 6, you only have to prove why you're 1% better. Jot that down. I only, when it's 5 to 6%, I only have to validate why I'm 1% better. You're not fighting for the whole six. You're just fighting for that one extra percent. Does that make sense, gang? Yes or no? There's two fronts to work with here. If they've decided to hire an agent, they bought into the industry, and now it's a choice between 5 and 6, well, you just got to validate your 1% better. If they haven't bought into the industry and they're that other type of seller that's just looking to, like, you know, score a discount, I'll try a realtor at 5%. I got nothing to lose. This person, you still have to get them to buy into realtor, real estate industry. Are you with me? Yeah. We need to convey you should hire an agent based on their skill and their ability, not based on what they charge. Then I found this other thing, houserebate.com. Again, I'm just showing you. You can do this yourself. This is their listing agreement. This is not their listing agreement. This is their disclosure. 3 pages. And when you read this, you know, 4% in commission. Then when you start reading, yeah, but that doesn't include this. It doesn't include that. And by the way, we're not even licensed in your state, so we're going to have to refer you to another agent in the area. I mean, I could spend time shooting these discount people left and right, but you do it yourself because you know your company, you know your market better than I. Are you all with me on this? Take the companies you're competing against and find holes in it. One of the things I recommend you do is this competition analysis. You fill out a form or you make your own form to look at if you keep coming up against or butting up against an agent who's discounted their fee, whether it's, it doesn't matter the company. But if it's the same office or individual agent, look for their weakness. This is what I just said. What kind of advertising they do, is it consistent? You know, one of the things I saw in these FSBO.com things, it said, look at my current listings. When I clicked on it, you know how many there were? Zero. There was none there. And I'm like, well, either this guy is bombing with this discount commission. He's got no clients, or he has clients and he doesn't even put it on his website. Maybe he sold them all. Well, you know what? He didn't have the little sold banner across it. It just had a blah box. I don't know your numbers, but I want you to see the power. This is good. This is hot right now. Watch this. I want you to look at your company. What your average list price is and average sales price. Look at that. I want you to do the math and figure out what is your average list price and the average sales price, which will give you this percentage of list sales price to list price. Are you all with me on this? Okay. So you're going to do your homework, and I want you to figure that out. Now, hopefully, this is what you'll discover is something like this. By the way, you can always massage the numbers to work, usually. Meaning that if your office and another office, you know, another company doesn't look good, like the other company has better numbers than you, then you simply take a couple of offices. You can take a time frame. It's all integritous. It's not lying because you tell people it's from January to this time frame, or you can take last year. So you keep massaging the numbers. I want you to see the power in this concept, though. All right, so let's say your company, your average list price and average sales price is this, and that's your percentage, right? Then you're talking to this homeowner. You say, now, based on listing your house at $225,000, if based on the averages, we should get you 96.53% of the asking price, which would be $217,192.50. Right. Okay, now, we look at the other company. The other company, their average list price is $235,000. Their average sales price is $221,000, which means that they get 94% of the asking price for their clients. Don't get so anal with the numbers. Get the concept. Right? Okay, now. So that means if you listed with Help You to Hell. You know, I'm recording this, and, you know, because we're going to make an audio program out of this. I ain't ever selling this to help you to sell real estate. Just take them, never, yeah. Now, so if you list at $225,000 with the other company, based on their percentages, you should net $212,000. That means My company at 7% will net you 217. The other company at 6% will net you 212. My company will net you almost $5,000 more by paying us more money. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Is that hot or is that hot? That's hot. This, you can go now. That one technique right there should blow it out of the waters. But Daryl, why is that? I'll tell you why. We net people more money because we take our commission and we put it back into our business. See, listen, people are not stupid. FSBOs are not stupid now. You can say to them, listen, if I'm taking money, if I'm cutting my income, my gross revenue, for me to still stay in business, what I got to do? Cut my overhead. My overhead is what gets my clients' home sold. That's my overhead. My advertising on TV, my advertising in print. Do I not run an ad this month because I got to pay the electric bill? So we can get higher income into your pocket because we're using the money wisely and it comes back to you. All right, if we end the seminar right now, have you learned anything, yes or no?
Yes.
Here's another thing to look at as far as your competition. Average days on the market for you and the other company. Okay? So there's another place. If you can show that the average days on the market for a client's house with your company is 32 days and theirs is 45 days, with the combination of the other example that I gave you, we can show them we'll sell their house for more money quicker. So also look at the days on the market. Now, let me give you some one-liners. I was thinking when I created this, is if I were going to give you just some information, like if you didn't have visuals, like just one-liners that you could use when commission comes up, here's what they would be. First of all, in the area of the discount broker, for most of the time, some of these discount brokers will say, you know what, pay us a fee, we'll put you on multiple, and you're basically paying the selling broker's end, yes?
Right.
Now, some of these discount brokers, they'll still get a piece, or it'll either be a fee or it'll be a piece of the commission, but they're not going to be actively involved representing you, yes?
Yeah.
So here's what you would say. When a buyer comes from the selling agent, is the selling agent representing the seller or the buyer? Who is the agent representing when they bring a buyer over and you write a contract? Who is that agent representing?
The buyer,
yes? Yes. The buyer's agent, yes? So here's the one little thing you can say to a seller. So basically what you're doing is you're paying to have a professional licensed trained agent work against you. Right? So they're going to pay 3.5%, 4%. You didn't get that? With a discount broker, they'll say, all we're going to do for the fee of our 1%, we're going to charge you 4.9%. What we're going to do is we're basically going to put it on multiple, give you a sign to stick in front of your property, but we're not going to handle the negotiations. We're going to give you some marketing exposure, but you're not going to have an agent representing you. So if they're paying 4%, all they're getting for 4% is exposure, activity, to have all these licensed, trained professional agents work against them, because all those agents are representing the buyer, not representing the seller. They're paying 4% to have people work against them. So if you're willing to do that, isn't it behoove you for another 3% to have me be your front person, your representative, to make sure all this stuff that's coming in is for your best? I mean, I, this doesn't make any sense to me, to pay 4% and have people not represent you. Right?
Yeah.
Just another 3% ain't nothing. Another thing, you do the math with them. Well, like I said, you don't have to, when the difference is 1, 2, or 3%, you just need to validate why we're 1, 2, 3% better. It's not the whole 7% we're fighting for now when you're on a discount broker competition thing. You know, will you cut your commission? This is a great one-liner. No. Any other questions? I mean, I don't know how advanced to get here with you guys, but that's a very good one.
You've used it?
I love this one. Well, the other agents said to do it for less. You know, if an agent is so quick to give away their money to get your listing, how quick are they going to be to give away your money just to put a deal together? I'd be concerned if I were you. Does that make sense, gang? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Oh, I got more. Hurry up. Write this quickly. Now, this is also good to distinguish the skill and the ability. If I could get you, if I could do this for the same percent that the other agent's charging, would you then hire me? When they say, you know what, Daryl, we like it, but the other broker is going to do it for 5%, you're at 7%, you know, just economics, I got to go with the other agent at 5%. Let me ask you something, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. If I could do it for the same percentage the other agent's doing it for, would you then hire me? Why is that a good question to ask? You're going to find out if they like you. What else? I'm closing them. Yeah, what else? I'm starting to go to value. So in other words, everything being equal, you'd rather hire me. The next question followed to be, why? Hopefully they're going to say, well, it seems like you and Long and Foster are the better person. Okay. Well, let me ask you something. If I'm the better agent, my company's the better company, wouldn't you expect to pay more for something that's better? You know, if you had a choice between a steak that was $1 a pound or $2 a pound, and you wanted a nice steak dinner, which would you pay? Which would you buy? Probably the $2 steak. Why? Because you get what you pay for. Because it's better quality. You just told me that I'm the better person for the job. I'm the better steak. Well, you got to pay more for what's better. If you want to pay less, you're going to get less quality. And less quality, and here's the other thing, maybe they don't get, less quality means less money in their pocket. If you go back to that other example, showing how we can net them more money. You know, an oldie but a goodie is to say, listen, if I'm not good at negotiating my salary, how good am I going to be negotiating for you? Here's something we've learned about the real estate business. A 7% brokerage fee is the amount that covers our expenses and generates a profit. Mr. and Mrs. Fisbo, let there be no mistake. I am in this to make money. I'm in this to make a profit and feed my family. I don't do this to break even. And I know based on my skill and ability, and my company knows this, this is what we need to charge in order for us to get the job done for the client, cover our expenses, and make a profit. See, everybody has to win. When an agent says, I'll do it for 6%, it's like an upfront of apology ahead of time saying, I'm not worth what the standard would be, what I can afford to cover my expenses and make a profit. And as a matter of fact, if you do the math, they're actually getting a 14% cut in pay. 1% from 6 to 7, that's 14%, gang. So that means an agent, you have a choice of hiring an agent and a company that considers themselves to be 14% worth, in other words, they're worth less, 14% less than what I believe I'm worth and my company is worth. By the way, 5%, that's a 29% cut, and a 4%, that's a 43% cut. Here's all I can tell you. If an agent doesn't believe they're worth, if they're apologizing up front, if I were somebody sitting in your chair, I would be real concerned about the quality of the work that they're going to do. Once again, we have to keep bringing it back to what? The quality, the value. Save a nickel, lose a dime. Let me tell you something. If it was easy to sell a house, and we can make a good profit at 4% with the marketing that we have, the money that we have beyond, we'd get a lawsuit against us because we'd become a monopoly. We would have every darn listing in our marketplace because in a heartbeat, we can all of a sudden start discounting our fee. And with the number of agents, how many do we have? 10,000 agents? What's the numbers? 10,000 agents. In a heartbeat, we can take this market over overnight. By just saying, we're going to do 4%. Bing, every office would have to shut down. And you know why we won't do that? Because we know we can't make a profit at 4%. No brokerage can unless they cut back on the quality. See, just think about it. You ever go to Kmart? Do you guys have Kmart here? Yes or no? All right. Look, Kmart, when they have a blue light special, they don't do that on items that are worth more. Companies only discount the items they believe they can't sell for the original list price. Are you with me? It's like an upfront apology. We can't get business any other way. We can't get business. We can't sell this thing because it's good. We can't sell it because of the quality. So we got to drop that price down and we're going to put it in a bin. That blue light bin. Stick a light over it. Hell, if we can get dancing girls, if we can do that and get away with it, we do that too, because we can't sell it any other way. And any broker that's going to say to you, I'll do it for six, five, or four, they're a blue light special, because they can validate to you their skill and quality they bring to the table. They're competing with not quality, but on price. You want the blue light special? I'll give you a list of names you can call. You know, when you compete on price, here's another example. Southwest Airlines, Joe Borner loves Southwest Airlines. I mean, when I fly here, I love it too, but you know what I discovered flying here? See, Southwest Airlines, they competed purely on price, and they didn't care about quality. Now, how they kind of compensated with quality is they made you laugh on the flight. Let's see if we can distract them enough so they don't realize just how the quality stinks here. You love Southwest, yeah? You only fly in Southwest. That's nice. Now, what started to happen, because I travel a lot, probably fly more than most people in this room, and here's what I noticed about the Southwest employee. You know what they do at Southwest? You know, they have a cleaning crew. You know who cleans it? The flight attendants. Other airlines, they have a special cleaning crew. The flight attendants have to clean up after us, which was fine for a while. I noticed that as I travel and I talk to these flight attendants, that jovial, humorous thing, I don't hear it anymore on it. Now, maybe they still do, but not on the flight that took me here. No more joking. Because I'm sure the flight attendants, after months and months of getting low pay, more work, they're getting a little ticked off. And it's showing in the quality. Something interesting, too. My flight here normally would have cost me just maybe $100 round trip. Well, now it costs me $300 from New York to BWI. Why? Because they're raising their fares. They're raising their fares because they realize that as much of a niche as that was, they're not being profitable. And the flight attendants are grumbling. And they're going to have to give them, are you all with me on this? Any company that fights based on price and price alone does not survive. Here, John Rushkin, who is a famous, I forgot what he was. He was the greatest Victorian bar victor, was an artist, scientist, poet, environmentalist, philosopher, and importantly here, a permanent art critic of his time. John Ruskin, 1890, died in 1900. Here were some slogans, but comments that he used to make. When you pay too much, you lose a little money, but that's all. When you pay too little, you sometimes lose everything because the thing you bought was incapable of doing the thing it was supposed to do. Got that? So you pay a little bit too much, worst thing, you paid a little bit too much. But you paid too little, you could lose everything because what you actually hired an agent to do, they were incapable, based on their skill, to get the job done. Save a nickel, lose a dime. Here's another one. The common law of business balances prohibits paying a little and getting a lot. It can't be done. There is hardly anything in the world that someone can't make a little worse and sell a little cheaper, and people who consider price alone are this man's lawful prey. I'll say it again. There is hardly anything in the world that someone can't make a little worse and sell a little cheaper, and people who consider price alone are this man's lawful prey. Once again, meaning the discount brokers, there are the people that shop by price and price alone, and they are that person's prey that they're looking for that cheap item. Okay, now, here's another one-liner for the commission thing. Commission is actually a marketing tool. The more you pay, the more showings you get, which means a higher sales price to you. See, here's how it's a marketing tool. If this represented the 7% commission, oh no, because I taught you not to give half, about that much is going to go to the other office. Then of what's left, about this much goes to Long and Foster for their overhead. Then I have my bills, my gas, my own advertising, my stationery, my voicemail. That's my profit. Oh, I forgot. Uncle Sam gets, he's in there somewhere, but I usually don't worry about him till after I file. So this is what's left to me. Now, you know what? An extra 1% is maybe that much to me. It maybe pays my gas for the month. The reason why I like to see you be at 8 versus 7 is because it's a marketing tool this way. Watch this. If let's say we've got all these similar houses for sale, 6, 7, and 8. If you were a hungry agent and you had a choice to sell any one of these three houses, which one would you try to sell, all things being equal? The 8%, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. So that extra 1% doesn't really do anything in my pocket, but it's a marketing tool and it might help you sell your house for more money and quicker because you'll get more activity. Once again, highest price, many buyers through the front doors. How you get the most buyers through the front doors is exposure through marketing tools. This is simply a marketing tool. Now, I love this one. If selling a house was as simple as placing an ad in the paper, you wouldn't have to be licensed in the state to help other people. Let me finish. I'm going to put that back. I just want this to sink in with you. If selling a house was as simple as putting an ad in the paper, you wouldn't have to be licensed, right? Think about the concept. How many hours of continuing education do you guys have to do? 15 every two, really? Well, in New York, it's 22 and a half hours. And it should be. Yeah, a lot of love in this room. So when you think about it, right, that if you have to be licensed to help other people, isn't there more to selling a house than just putting an ad in the paper, yes or no? Absolutely. Now, what I have here on this, and you should say this to a homeowner, just think with me. You know what? If we didn't bring something to the table, us realtors, there wouldn't be 10,000 of us just with Long and Foster. There'd be like 10. So obviously, we're all feeding our families. We're making some kind of living. There's 10,000 people making a living. You're not the majority. You're the minority when you sell on your own. Yes? So what do these people know that you don't know, Mr. and Mrs. Fisbo? And then you would insert that somewhere early on in the listing conversation. Then what you can do is you can actually go over with them all the different forms we have. For example, because sometimes they'll say, you know, well, my attorney will handle some of that. Yeah, I understand your attorney's great on the law, but they're not marketing people. See, we market houses to get the highest price. You're going to meet with your attorney after you've already negotiated the price, the most important thing. But you know what? Here's something. Let me ask you something. Are you familiar with the lead disclosure form? Yeah. Now, you ask your for sale by owner, what are they going to say? Do you know when the lead disclosure form is supposed to be presented? Oh, my God, this is a little scary. Do you know when, gang? You should know. The seller's disclosure form, do you know when that should be presented? I don't think it's the lead disclosure. The seller's disclosure form, I believe, has to be prior to contract. If I'm not mistaken, it's supposed to actually be when any serious dialogue about the house is given. Now, I would ask, did your attorney tell you about that? No. You know what? I'm sure he's a great attorney, but if he didn't tell you that, what else has he told you? See, I'm not saying your attorney's this way, but you know, I know. Listen, I work with more attorneys than you probably have talked to in your whole life, with all due respect. And you know what I know about attorneys? For the most part, they have this thing called Blumberg form. They give it to a secretary who fills it out. Is that true, yes or no? You see, attorneys, what they do is they take the information the realtors put together and they basically plug in the numbers, and that's what they bring to the table. Now, of course, there's a little bit more. They do have a license on the wall that says that they're a lawyer. And they do, if there are some problems, some legal problems, they are there. They do bring some value to the table. But if they were bringing what I brought to the table, then the attorney would charge you 7%.
Right.
And they've never gotten that much. Once again, history is telling us we bring something to the table. All right.